In today's edition of Radio Theatre, we present The Seventh Veil, written by Muriel and Sydney Box. It was adapted for radio by Helen Cunningham, produced by Anne Freed, and directed by Delphine Lethbridge. It was originally broadcast on Springbok Radio on the 26th of July, 1971.
Sorry it's so late, Dr. Kendall. He can't be long now.
I wouldn't be so sure. I know these foreigners. No sense of time at all. He is Dr. Larson, I suppose.
Hmm? Oh, yes.
I merely ask. One can never be sure with these specialists in the unconventional. You're quite determined to go on with this, I take it.
After what happened on Sunday, we must. Well, you've seen for yourself. She's getting worse instead of better.
Well, you know my views. Ah, at last.
Dr. Larson, sir.
How do you do, Doctor? My name is Max Layton, and this is Dr. Kendall.
How do you do? I'm afraid I'm 11 minutes late. I hope you both forgive me, especially you, Doctor.
As a matter of fact, I do have another appointment quite soon.
Then let us waste no more time. I have studied the general medical details you sent me, Dr. Kendall. Everything is quite clear except the new circumstances you mentioned in your letter. Something which happened on Sunday night, was it not?
That's right.
Before you tell me about it, Doctor, I wonder if you would sketch in the background for me. Is this Miss Cunningham's house?
No. It belongs to her guardian, Nicholas Cunningham. But she's lived here since she was 16.
And now she's 26.
Of course, she's been abroad a great deal of that time, but this has always been her home.
One other thing.
Hmm?
What exactly is your connection with the case?
Oh, I am her fiancé. We were about to get married when the first upsetting incident occurred. The car crash.
It was Mr. Layton who insisted on your being called in.
I see. Thank you, Doctor. Shall we proceed to the happenings of Sunday?
By all means. To put it bluntly, Miss Cunningham attempted to do away with herself. She had been in bed ever since the car accident. On Sunday evening, when the nurse was out of the room for a moment, she got up, left the house, and ran into Hyde Park. A motorist saw her throw herself off the bridge into the Serpentine and gave the alarm. She was rescued and brought back here. Physically, not much the worse for wear, but...
She has never attempted suicide before?
No, never.
I see. What is her occupation?
Well, she's a well-known concert pianist.
Your notes on the case, Doctor, say she doesn't speak at all.
That is so.
I should like to examine her under hypnosis. Or rather, as she is not cooperative, under narcosis.
Do you really think that will help?
It may do. At least it would tell us the nature of the injury to her mind.
I know you fellows get some remarkable results, but I can't say I altogether like it. It saves a little of crying, if you see what I mean.
Dr. Kendall, a surgeon does not operate without first taking off the patient's clothes. Nor do we with the mind. You know what Stapel says. The human mind is like Salome at the beginning of her dance, hidden from the outside world by seven veils. Veils of reserve, shyness, fear. Now, with friends, the average person will drop first one veil, then another, maybe three or four altogether. With a lover, she would take off five or even six, but never the seventh, never. You see, the human mind likes to cover its nakedness too and keep its private thoughts to itself. Salome dropped her seventh veil of her own free will, but you will never get the human mind to do the same. That is why I use narcosis. 5 minutes under narcosis, and down comes the seventh veil, and we can see what is actually going on behind it. Then we can really help.
Very well. When would you like to start?
At once.
You mean now?
Why not?
But I told you I have another appointment.
I quite understand, Doctor. There is no need to delay you. If you will be good enough to instruct the nurse to place the patient in my care for, say, 2 hours, that is all that will be necessary.
Very well. I will go and explain to her.
Dr. Larson, there's something I think you ought to know before you examine Miss Cunningham.
What is that?
Her guardian, Nicholas Cunningham.
Oh, yes. Is he here now?
No, he's away. He returns this afternoon.
Excellent. If I need his help, I can speak to him then.
But there's something you ought to know about him. Something that affects Miss Cunningham. His influence on
her... Mr. Layton, I can learn all about that from Miss Cunningham. If Mr. Cunningham is in her thoughts, she will tell me about him. If he is not, then it is best that we do not confuse the issue with, shall we say, gossip. Don't you agree?
Just as you please.
I think the best thing you can do is to go for a nice little stroll in the park. These matters are best managed in private, you understand.
Very well. Doctor.
I know. You love her very much and you want to see her well again, am I right?
Yes, sir.
Then I hope you will enjoy your walk. Now, Miss Cunningham, I know you don't want to talk at the moment. You're very tired and you would like to go to sleep. So, I want you to breathe deeply. That's right. Relax. Relax and close your eyes. Soon you will be asleep. Asleep. That's right. Sleep. Sleep. There. You are asleep. Nothing can hurt you. You understand that, don't you? Nod your head if you understand. That's right. Now, you can do what you like and you can go where you please. What would you like to do? You were happy when you were a little girl, weren't you? Would you like to go back to school and be happy again?
School?
Yes, would you like that?
School.
You are 16 years of age now. How old are you?
I'm 16.
That's right. You are 16 and you are at school.
School. 16. School. Of course it was all Susan's fault.
Who is Susan?
Susan Brooke. She was my friend. She could make me do anything.
What sort of thing?
Oh, we'd get into trouble, and then I was the one who got found out and punished. It was really Susan's fault that I got caned.
Caned? Who caned you?
Miss Duncan.
Your schoolmistress? What had you done?
Nothing much. Just...
Tell me about it.
Oh, please, Miss Duncan. I know I must be caned, but not on my hands. Please, not on my hands. But today's the music examination. And if you cane me, if my hands... Oh, please.
Miss Duncan wouldn't listen to you?
No.
And she caned you on your hands. Did it hurt much?
Yes. My hands were swollen and blistered. I played so badly, I knew I hadn't a chance. I'd set my heart on that scholarship.
But next time you sat for it, you passed easily.
I never sat for it again.
No? Why was that?
My father died.
I see. Your father's death stopped you from sitting for the music examination. Why was that?
When my father died, they sent me to live with my Uncle Nicholas in London. My mother died when I was a baby, you see. Uncle Nicholas wasn't really my uncle, but he was the only relative I had in the world. He was rich.
Miss Cunningham has arrived, sir.
Ah, come in. Let's have a look at you. Francesca, isn't it?
Yes, Uncle Nicholas.
Don't call me Uncle. I'm not your uncle. If you must call me anything, call me Nicholas.
Yes, Nicholas.
Take your hat off. And your coat. It's all right, I'm not going to eat you. Now listen to me, listen carefully. This is a bachelor establishment. You know what that means?
Yes, it means you're not married.
It means I don't like women about the place. When I came to live in this house, I promised myself that no woman would ever enter it. So far, none has. You're the first.
I see.
What you see?
That I'm to do my best not to intrude on your privacy more than I can possibly help.
Is there anything you want to ask me?
No. No, Nicholas.
You're sure?
Yes. Well, that is...
Well?
If you're not my uncle, who are you?
I'm your father's second cousin. Anything else?
No.
I have a letter here from your school, from Miss Donkin. And she says, Francesca's intelligence is rather above average. She's extremely well-behaved and has a charming, friendly disposition once she's overcome the initial shyness, which sometimes prevents her making friends easily. Are you shy?
Yes.
Of me?
A little.
There's no need to be. Miss Donkin also says, Francesca has an extraordinary talent for music. She plays the piano extremely well and has an appreciation of music far in advance of her years. You must play something for me sometime. All right.
Did I do something wrong?
No, I want to talk to you. 3 months of listening to you has convinced me that your Miss Donkin was correct in her judgment. You have an extraordinary talent for music. And you've learned a lot.
Oh, it's easy to learn from you, Nicholas. You're such a wonderful teacher.
Oh, I've no illusions about my musical ability. Those who can do, those who can't, teach. I've taught you all I know, but now it's time you had some proper training. I've arranged for you to start at the Royal College of Music on Monday.
Nicholas, I don't know what to say.
Remember, your hands are your most precious possession. Damage them, and all hopes of a musical career are finished.
Oh, I will remember.
Good. I'm going to Paris tomorrow.
How long will you be away?
Several months. I've opened an account for you at Harrod's. You'll go there this afternoon and get what you need. Ask for Mrs. Harrison. She's what they call a buyer in the gown department. She'll advise you on what to buy, but don't let her foist anything on you. Use your own taste and choose whatever you think's best for you. You understand?
Yes, Nicholas.
Now, here's a note for her.
Oh, Nicholas. Thank you so much.
Don't do that. Don't ever do that again.
Mr. Peter Gay to see you, Miss Francesca.
Flash.
Peter, you shouldn't have come.
I say, what sort of a welcome is that? Aren't you glad to see me?
Yes, but not here. Why did you come?
Well, I ran into one of the girls at your harmony class. Mavis, I think her name is. Well, she said you weren't coming to the dance tonight.
No, I'm not.
Now, that is where you are wrong. I'm taking you.
Yes, but I can't dance.
That's what Mavis said. Well, that's why I brought these records. Do you have a record player?
Yes, over there.
Oh, good. I'll just move this here.
But why are you rolling up that rug?
Oh, you'll see.
Peter, what are you going to do?
Teach you to dance. Oh. It's a waltz.
But I can't.
Of course you can. You can count up to three, can't you? That's all you have to do.
Oh, dear.
Come on.
Now.
One, two, three. There you are. Well, it's as easy as ABC, isn't it?
No.
You're doing all right, Fran. Just relax. Relax. Nobody's going to eat you.
That's what Nicholas always says.
Who is this Nicholas?
My guardian.
Well, that's a blessing anyhow.
Why?
Just thought he might be competition, that's all.
I don't understand.
Don't you, Fran?
No.
You know, you're a bit of a prig, but, well, that's the way you were brought up.
And you're extremely rude, but I suppose that's the way you've been brought up.
Jack, I was dragged up, I know it.
You must go now.
But why? Oh, this guardian of yours around, huh?
Oh, no, he's away. He's nearly always away.
But then what's the hurry? Why do you always run away when you're having fun, Frank?
Well, I don't. It's just that I have more important things to do.
Ah, that's the trouble with you. How often do you take an evening off and go to the movies?
Never.
But you should. Well, they take you out of yourself.
Is that such a good thing?
Of course it is. Look, suppose this is a movie. Poor, struggling musician. That's me. Meets snooty rich girl. That's you. And you know what happens?
What?
Well, she's cold and stuck up and kind of unattainable, but underneath it all, she's falling for him in spite of herself. See?
No.
Well, that's because you don't go to the movies. You know what happens next?
No.
Well, he just leans forward and kisses her.
Oh.
And you know what she does?
No.
Of course, she slaps his face and walks right out of the place.
And then what happens?
Oh, they're both awfully unhappy, and soon they take to haunting the spot where they first met. Then one day they hear the tune the orchestra played that first day. In a flash, they're in one another's arms, and he's kissing her.
Oh.
Like this, Fran.
Come in and pour yourself a drink, Peter.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, I've had such a lovely day. Do you know I've never been on the river before?
You don't say.
Sure, Peter. I never did anything lovely until I met you.
Oh, Fran.
Let me go, Peter.
What's the matter?
Someone's just come in.
Well, I didn't hear anything.
It was the front door.
Good evening, Francesca.
Oh.
You look surprised to see me. Weren't you expecting me?
No.
But I let Parker know I were returning tonight.
He didn't tell me.
So I gather. Aren't you going to introduce us?
Oh, this is Peter Gay, a friend of mine. Nicholas Cunningham, my guardian.
Glad to know you, Mr. Cunningham.
How do you do?
Peter was just going.
Really?
Yes, sir. I've got to be getting along.
Don't let me disturb you, please.
No, you have to go, haven't you, Peter?
That's right, yes.
Then don't let me detain you. Now, Parker will see you out.
Well, good night, Mr. Cunningham.
Good night.
Good night, Francesca.
Good night, Peter. Did you have a good holiday in Germany, Nicholas?
Yes, thank you.
Parker should have told me that you were coming back. I'd have gone to the station to meet you.
I didn't come by train. Sims drove me.
Oh.
You look rather pale. Have you been working too hard?
No, I don't think so.
You're not ill, I hope.
No, I'm quite well, thank you. Nicholas, I must talk to you.
Won't it keep till morning?
No, it's important.
Well, what is it?
I don't know how to start.
Why not start at the beginning? That's the usual way, isn't it?
Well, there's nothing usual about this, so I'll start at the end. Nicholas, I'm engaged.
Oh. Well, good night.
Nicholas, did you hear what I said?
Perfectly.
But you don't understand. I found a man I love, and I want to marry him. He's asked me to, and I've said yes.
Go to bed.
But Nicholas...
Go to bed, and before you go to sleep, pack a bag. We're leaving for Vienna in the morning.
Vienna? I mean, you're taking me to Vienna?
Yes.
But I can't go. I won't go. I want to stay here with Peter. What could I do in Vienna?
You'll carry on your studies.
Well, I won't. I won't go, I tell you. And you can't make me. I don't care whether I ever play again. If you take me away from Peter, I won't play. Do you hear? I won't ever play again, and I mean it. Why do you always treat me like a child?
Because you are one.
I'm not. I'm grown up. I'm a woman, and I have a right to live my own life. I know what I want, and you're trying to take it away from me. The only thing I've ever really cared for...
How old are you?
I won't go, I tell you. I won't, I won't, I won't.
Stop that. I said, how old are you?
17.
Exactly. Until you're 21, you're in my care. I'm your guardian. Your legal guardian. Do you understand what that means?
No.
It means you can't marry without my consent. You can't even leave this house unless I give you permission. If you do, I can have you brought back. By police, if necessary. It's my duty to see that you behave properly and don't make a fool of yourself. Is that clear?
Yes.
Then go to bed. Go to bed.
Oh, Nicholas. How can you be so cruel?
You rang, sir?
Miss Francesca's just gone up to her room. I want you to go up and lock her door on the outside and bring the key down to me.
You mean lock her in, sir?
Naturally. I think my instructions are perfectly clear.
Yes, sir.
Then please carry them out at once.
Our little protege, she's ready, yes?
She will be in a moment, Borelli. She's still in the dressing room.
She's not nervous, the little one?
No. Why should she be?
Why should she not be? It is a debut, is it not? It is right that one should be nervous at one's debut.
Oh, don't worry. Miss Cunningham hasn't got a nerve in her body.
It is a pity. A musician without nerves is a musician without temperament. And it is temperament that makes a good artist into a great artist. In 8 minutes, she will be ready, yes?
Quite ready.
I go and change my shirt. Always when I conduct Beethoven, I must change my shirt. It is very expensive, but what would you do, eh? In 5 minutes, I will return.
Francesca, are you ready?
Yes, Nicholas, I'm just coming. Here I am.
Everything all right?
Yes, Nicholas.
The hall is packed. Borelli's just been in. You've got 5 minutes.
I'm all ready.
Now, don't forget. Wait for Borelli to lead you onto the platform.
Yes.
Take your time and don't give him the signal to start until you are quite ready.
No.
I'm just going to make sure they've got the new piano stool I asked for. I'll be back in a minute.
Who is it?
Francesca!
Hi, Susan! It is Susan Brooke, isn't it?
Oh, my dear, how clever of you to remember after all these years. Only it isn't Brooke now, it's Krabotovich. Oh, horrid, isn't it?
Susan, how lovely to see you.
Darling, you haven't changed a bit, and now you're a famous pianist.
Oh, not yet.
Oh, yes, you are, I know. I can tell that from the trouble I had getting in to see you. It cost my husband literally thousands of lira to bribe the doorman.
How did you know I was here, in Venice?
Well, I saw your name on the bills this afternoon, and I said to my husband, I was at school with that girl. And then I told him that screamingly funny story of how you failed in your music exam, remember? When we rigged up that booby trap for old Mother Donkin, and she insisted on caning us on the very day of the exam. Oh, what an old beast she was. Still, you've got the laugh of her now, haven't you? I mean, if you told anybody today that you'd failed your first music exam because some silly old schoolmarm had a grudge against you, they simply wouldn't believe you, would they?
It's all fixed, now. What's the matter, Francesca? Is something wrong?
It's nothing, Nicholas, thank you.
Something's happened. You're upset.
Oh, did I say say something I shouldn't? Oh, well, I won't interrupt any longer. I'll go in front and listen. You must come and have tea with me one day. Oh, goodbye, darling, and astonishing luck.
Who is that woman?
A girl I went to school with.
Are you sure you're all right, Francesca?
I think so. I don't know.
There's nothing to be nervous about.
Nicholas, I can't go on. I can't.
Nonsense. Of course you'll go on. You'll go right out onto that stage and play as well as you've ever played. Better.
I can't. I can't do it.
Francesca, listen to me. Stop shivering. Stop it. That's better. Now, take a deep breath. A deep one. Now another. And another. That's better. You know something? I'm so certain of your reception that I'm not even going into the hall. I'm going to stay here and read this contract.
You're not going to be there?
No, it isn't necessary. I don't have to go outside this room to know that you're going to be a great success. Now, here's Borelli. Remember, take your time. Another deep breath. Good. Avanti.
Ready, Miss Cunningham?
Yes. Quite ready.
Then let us show ourselves to the mob, shall we?
Good luck. Good luck, Francesca. Maid there and will attend to her. What happened, Borelli?
That I cannot tell. In the first movement, she was maravillosa. In the maestoso, one would think it was a man who played, not a small lady. But in the last movement, I look, and her face, it is as if she was frightened.
Frightened?
See, the expression is the expression of terror.
But she was playing perfectly well. I heard from in here.
Oh, truly, her playing was as if from another world. But she was not at ease in her mind. Then she finish. The applause is phenomenal. Then poof, she slide from the stool and falls to the floor. It was terrible.
She fainted?
See, but first, as I pick her up, she says something about her cane and her fingers swelling as she played. It does not make sense, does it?
A cane and her fingers.
Good evening, Miss Francesca.
Oh, good evening, Parker.
Good evening, sir.
Good evening, Parker. I see you've provided the fatted calf.
Well, I took the liberty of putting out champagne, sir. It seemed suitable for a homecoming.
Now, I'm glad to see your sense of the fitness of things hasn't deserted you during the last few years.
Well, it's been a long time, sir, and if I may say so, I'm glad to see you and Miss Francesca home again.
Oh, and it's so good to be back, Parker. Australia, South Africa, New York, South America. It's been wonderful. But to come home and find you here and everything just the same, even after 7 years. Oh, that's the nicest thing of all.
Why, thank you, Miss Francesca. Will there be anything else, sir?
Not for the moment, Parker, thank you. Oh, yes, yes. I'm expecting a Mr. Layton. When he comes, show him straight in here.
Yes, sir.
Champagne, Francesca?
Thank you.
What shall we drink to? A happy homecoming? Your future career?
I don't mind.
Then, let's drink to your happiness.
Do you really mean that?
Naturally.
Well, thank you. Oh, it's nice to be home, Nicholas. Why did we never come back to England before?
Because you weren't ready.
Was that the only reason?
Of course. What other reason could there be?
Oh, I don't know. I just wondered.
You saw Maitland today at the airport?
Yes.
He wants you to do 12 concerts in the provinces over the next 3 months. What do you say?
Why ask me? You usually settle these things without consulting me.
Then I'll let him know you accept. You'll excuse me?
Yes, of course.
I shan't be long. If Layton comes, entertain him for me, will you?
Who is he?
Surely you've heard of him. Max Layton, the painter. He's all the rage at the moment.
I'll do my best to live up to him.
Francesca, there's something I'd like to say to you. If I appear not to consult you about anything,
It's only because I wanted your life to be as smooth and easy as possible. To save you worry. To enable you to concentrate on your music.
Let me
finish. I devoted years to converting a very ordinary little girl into a first-class artist. I've given up everything to be with you and to help your career. And yet I make no demands on you at all. No demands of any sort. You understand?
Yes, Nicholas.
Good. Then that's understood. Look after Leighton when he comes, won't you?
Yes, Nicholas. Mr. Peter Gay, please. Oh, it's you, Peter. It's Francesca. Yes, it is, isn't it? Well, I did write to you, you know, but the letters all came back. Yes, I've just got home. When can I see you? Oh, well, couldn't you come round tonight? Oh, yes, of course. Yes, all right, if you really want to. No, I'm listening. Of course I'll pay attention. Peter, what is it? Is something wrong? All right, tell me. Oh, yes. Yes, of course. Of course, I understand. Yes. Oh, Peter, someone's just come in. I'll have to ring off. No, I must go. Goodbye.
Good evening. I'm sorry if I've interrupted you.
Excuse me.
Well, what could that be all about? Oh, you come, Leighton. All alone?
Ah, yes. Were you expecting me to bring someone with me?
No, but I thought Francesca would be here to welcome you. Champagne or brandy?
Brandy, please. As a matter of fact, Miss Cunningham was here for a moment when I arrived.
Oh, what happened to her?
She took one look at me and rushed out of the room.
You're joking, of course. It was kind of you to come at such short notice.
Not at all. I was intrigued at the idea of meeting you again. You've been out of England for some time, haven't you?
7 years.
A lot has happened in that time. To both of us.
Yes, I'm delighted at your success.
Thank you.
I'd like you to paint my ward. And that's the real reason for my asking you to come here this evening.
Oh, well, I'm afraid that's impossible.
Impossible?
I don't paint portraits anymore. It interferes with my serious work.
Really? But you haven't met my ward yet. I suppose we leave your answer until you do.
As you please. But the answer will still be the same.
I shall be very disappointed if it is.
Can I move now?
No, just one second.
My neck's getting stiff.
Just 2 seconds and I'll be finished.
All right, but if I get rigor mortis, it'll be your fault.
There. That's done. Do you want to look at it?
Is it really finished?
Yes.
Oh.
Well? Do you like it?
It's very, very good. I hate to think of Nicholas having it.
Why?
Because it looks right through me, and I'd hate to think of Nicholas being able to do that.
You're frightened of Nicholas, aren't you?
Yes.
Why?
He has some extraordinary power over me. You think this absurd, but he knows what I'm thinking. He knows what I'm going to do almost before I know myself. And he's quite determined I shan't do anything which interferes with his plans.
And why do you stay with him?
I don't know. I don't think I can help myself. Now, let's talk about it. What are you going to do now the portrait's finished?
Oh, take a holiday, I suppose.
Where will you go?
That depends on you. Francesca, have you made up your mind? You said you'd give me your answer when the portrait was finished.
Oh, Max, I don't know.
You know you love me.
I never said so.
You didn't need to.
It's so obvious.
It's obvious we'd be very happy together. Now, will you come with me?
I think I'd like to, Max. Very much.
Oh, Francesca, darling, you made me very happy.
Max, it's not important, but how do we arrange things?
How do you mean?
Do you want to marry me?
Do you want me to?
I'm not sure.
You know, of course, that if you do...
No. I don't think it matters. Where should we go?
I've got a villa in Italy. It's high on a hill, overlooking the sea. Very quiet, very restful.
Sounds lovely. When should we start?
When would you like to?
Tomorrow.
Isn't that a bit sudden?
No. Once I've told Nicholas, I shan't be able to stay in this house any longer.
Would you rather I told him?
Oh, no, thanks, Max. I'll tell him.
You want to get it over, don't you? Well, would you like me to go now?
Do you mind, darling?
Of course not, I understand. Goodbye, darling.
Bye.
And give me a ring directly it's over, won't you?
Hello, Leighton. You're not going, are you?
Yes, I am.
How's the portrait coming along?
It's finished.
Oh. May I look?
Certainly. Well, what's the verdict?
You wish me to be honest?
Yes, of course.
Well, frankly, I'm disappointed. It doesn't come up to your usual standard.
In what way?
Well, I should say it lacks integrity.
Oh. Well, in that case, it should suit your taste admirably.
Goodbye, Francesca.
Goodbye. Nicholas, I'd like to talk to you.
I'm entirely at your disposal.
I'm glad you came down just then. So much has happened in this room, it seems only right it should hear the end of the story.
The end of which story?
Our story, Nicholas. I'm leaving here tomorrow. Max Leighton has asked me to go away with him to Italy. And I'm going. He's got a house there, you know. It'll mean cancelling the Philharmonic, but that's not for 4 weeks, so they'll be able to get someone else. And I don't want to make any more plans for at least 6 months. You do understand, don't you?
Perfectly. Am I invited to the wedding?
There isn't going to be any wedding. Not yet, anyway.
But I understood you to say that you were going to Italy. To his house.
So I am.
You mean you're going to live with him? Openly?
Yes.
How can you think of such a thing? I won't listen to another word.
Nicholas, I don't care what you say or what you do. This is my life, and I propose to live it in the way I think best.
Francesca!
It's no good, Nicholas. You can't browbeat me any longer. I'm grateful for some of the things you've done for me. But I'll never forgive you for some of the others. Anyway, it's over now. I'm going with Max tomorrow, and nothing is going to stop me. Is that clear?
Perfectly clear.
So, the story is over. Yours and mine in this room. And the only thing I shall miss in it is this piano.
Francesca, I haven't deserved this of you. I've always treated you as though you were my own daughter. All the love and sympathy I've had in me, I've given to you. My life hasn't been a happy one. You're the one beautiful thing in it, and I can't give you up. And I won't give you up. I spent 10 years training you, molding you, and now you want to throw yourself away on a man who doesn't even want to marry you. I demand that you give up this man. I demand that you send him away.
Oh, Nicholas, I've told you...
Listen, we'll go to America. They've been asking you to come to New York for months now. And now we'll go. You and I together. Just as we've always done. Francesca, this happened once before, remember? You came away from me then, and you weren't sorry, were you? You didn't love that boy, and you don't love Max. And I'll tell you why. You belong to me. We must always be together. You know that, don't you? You know that. Promise you'll stay with me always. Promise. Very well. If you won't pay for me, you shan't pay for anyone else. Ever again.
What are you doing, Nicholas? Put down that cane! Ah! No, Nicholas! No!
So Mr. Cunningham brought his cane down on the keyboard of the piano and onto your hands.
Yes, he did.
But he didn't smash your hands, did he?
I was terrified, I tell you.
Yes, you were terrified, but your hands were not damaged. Look. Very well. We won't talk about that anymore. Were you happy with Max?
We never went to Italy.
But didn't he take you away?
Yes, we started that very evening. We drove for what seemed to be hours and hours. I felt completely numb and very tired. I think I must have dozed off.
Yes?
Max! Max! I must get out of the car! I must get out! The car's on fire! I must get him out! Max! I must get him out! I must get him out of the car!
All right. Now, go on.
Just as I got to him, I heard Nicholas's voice.
Nicholas's voice?
Yes. It was almost as though he was standing beside me.
I could hear him quite clearly over the roar of the flames. He said, always take care of your hands. They're your most precious possession. Damage them, and you are no more use to the world.
So you left Max lying there?
Of course not. I had to get him out, whatever it cost me. I don't remember any more, really. Not until I woke up in bed at the hospital.
And then you felt terrible?
For a moment, I couldn't think what had happened. And then it all came back to me. I looked at my hands. They were bandaged, and I couldn't move them. I knew then that I should never play again.
But there was nothing wrong with your hands, was there?
That's what they all said, but I didn't believe them. Why were they bandaged?
They were burned a little, that's all. No bones broken, nothing serious. Just superficial burns. Look, look, they've healed up already. You do know that's true, don't you?
No, I don't. And if I can't play anymore, I don't want to live anymore.
Well, Dr. Larson, was your examination successful?
Who can say? In the past 2 hours, Miss Cunningham and I have traversed a great many years. A girl of 16 has grown into a mature woman of 26. We've walked side by side over every step of that journey. A long journey, Mr. Layton, and a dangerous one. A turning missed here, a slip into the ditch there. They all have their after effects. A twisted ankle and a twisted mind have got a great deal in common, you know.
Yes, but can you cure her?
Who knows? Already I have found out how she sprained her ankle and which stone she stumbled over when she grazed her shin. I'm not so sure what it was that broke her heart. But perhaps we shall find that out, too, later on.
I see.
To a pianist, the hands are of the greatest possible importance. Miss Cunningham has become convinced, against all the evidence, that her hands are irreparably damaged, that she will never be able to use them again. This has created a barrier in her subconscious mind which we have to break down.
And how do you hope to do that?
My aim is to persuade her to play the piano while she is in a state of hypnosis. If I'm successful, I shall wake her up while she's actually playing. Then she will know for a certainty that there is nothing wrong with her hands.
Do you think it'll work?
That we shall know in a few minutes' time. Have you any gramophone records of Miss Cunningham playing?
Well, yes. Why?
I should like you to select one, a solo piece, and have it ready on the record player when I return. I shall then ask you to play it for me when I give the signal. Is that clear?
Yes, of course.
Very well. I will go now and prepare the patient. Now, Miss Cunningham, I want you to listen to me carefully and do exactly as I tell you.
Is she in a complete state of hypnosis?
Yes. Sit down here at the piano. That's right. Now, would you like to hear some music today? Nod your head if you would like to. Good, you would. You are ready, Mr. Layton?
Yes, quite ready.
Then start the record, please. There, Miss Cunningham. There was the music I promised you. Isn't it beautiful? Don't you want to play it yourself?
Play?
Yes. Don't you want to play?
I can't.
Yes, you can if you want to. See, I've lifted your hands. Now they're on the keys. Your hands want to play. You want to play, don't you? Try to play.
Doctor, give it to me.
Here.
I'll take her back to her room and turn off that record player.
Nick, what on earth is going on in my drawing room?
Francesca, is she all right?
She's fainted. I'm taking her back to bed. This is Dr. Larson. He'll explain.
Ah, yes, Dr. Larson. You're treating my ward, I believe.
So you are Nicholas Cunningham.
I gather your treatment has not been conspicuously successful.
Mr. Cunningham, are you interested in my patient's recovery?
Naturally.
Then would you mind if I asked for your assistance? I have a record here. It is of a tune which has assumed some importance in the case. I wonder if I could play it to you, and if you would be good enough to tell me whether you know anything about it, whether perhaps it has any sentimental associations or is concerned with anyone she knew.
Go ahead. But don't expect me to know anything about her private affairs.
You dropped your cane, Mr. Cunningham. Allow me.
Thank you.
And thank you, Mr. Cunningham. By smashing that record, you have helped me tremendously.
Helped you?
I already knew of the power you had over Miss Cunningham, but now I know why. I know what she means to you. You see, all the pieces of the jigsaw begin to fit together. Mr. Layton made an unlucky choice of gramophone record, did he not?
You're not suggesting you can prove anything from a gramophone record?
On the contrary, one can prove a great deal when one observes the effect a few bars of music have on somebody's feelings.
Dr. Larson!
I know. There is no need to say it. You wish me to go, is that not so?
I'm sorry. I was the one who insisted on your being called in, but now I wish I hadn't. I'd like you now to withdraw from the case.
Of course, I must do as you say, but I think you ought to know. I consider it my duty to go on treating her.
No. After what happened today, I don't want you to use Miss Cunningham for any further experiments. Is that quite clear?
Quite.
Then if you'll excuse me...
How is she?
She's sleeping, as peacefully as a child.
Everyone's hand seems to be turned against you, Doctor.
Don't pity me. It's that poor girl you should be sorry for.
You're a strange person. What is your real interest in Francesca?
The same as yours, Mr. Cunningham.
Mine?
I want to see her restored to health. I want her to live again, to play again. Isn't that what you want?
Of course it's what I want.
Then will you allow me to go on tweeting, Miss Cunningham?
You really think you can cure Francesca?
Yes, I believe so. If you will help me. Good afternoon. You are Mr. Gay?
Yes.
My name is Larson, Dr. Larson.
Now, wait a minute. I don't need a doctor.
I'm very glad to hear it. I asked you to come because a patient of mine lives here. Miss Francesca Cunningham. And I believe you know her.
Well, sure I know her. Is she ill?
No. But she is in trouble, very great trouble, Mr. Gay, and I believe you can help me to put it right. You and Miss Cunningham were close friends at one time, were you not?
Yes, that's right.
She went abroad for 7 years. But when she returned, the first thing she did was to contact you.
Yes.
Mr. Gay, I want you to tell me what happened that night.
Well, nothing. I told her that I was married.
I see. How did she take it?
She just hung up on me.
Has Miss Cunningham ever met your wife?
Not that I know of. We were divorced a couple of months ago, anyway.
I'm sorry.
That's all right. It's quite a relief, really.
Mr. Gay, may I ask a very personal question?
I guess so.
You were in love with Miss Cunningham, weren't you?
Yes. Yes, I was.
Are you still in love with her?
I've never loved anyone else, if that's what you mean.
One more thing. There was a special tune you used to dance to, a waltz.
Yes.
Could you remember it well enough to play it over on the piano?
Oh, well...
You are a musician, are you not?
That's right, but the trumpet's my instrument. Still, I guess I could pick it out for you.
Good. Now, if you will be kind enough to wait here, I'll send for you in just a minute. Oh, you can practice your tune on the piano in here, if you wish.
Okay, Doctor, anything you say.
Good evening, Mr. Gay.
Oh, good evening, Mr. Cunningham. Say, I hope I haven't been disturbing you.
Not at all. This is Max Layton. Layton, Peter Gay.
How do you do?
How do you do, Mr. Gay?
They're ready for you now in Francesca's sitting room.
Oh, good.
Go straight up the stairs and you'll find the doctor waiting for you.
Thank you. Who is that man?
An old friend of Francesca's. In fact, he's the first man she wanted to marry.
What's he doing here now?
Dr. Larson invited him.
Larson? Is he here?
Yes.
I told him to withdraw from the case. He has no right to go on treating Francesca.
He has every right. I asked him to.
I'm going to put a stop to this once and for all.
I shouldn't do that if I were you. This is still my house, you know.
That's why I've come tonight, to take her away. She'll never get better as long as she stays here with you.
That's a matter of opinion.
There's another reason. We're going to be married.
That's a new development, isn't it?
No.
Last time I understood you were going to live together without benefit of clergy.
That was her wish. It wasn't mine.
A very charming way of putting it. In any case... I fancy you're too late.
What's that music?
It's a tune they used to dance to.
But why is he playing it now?
It's part of Larson's experiment, an attempt to get Francesca back to the piano. Why not sit down and have a drink? Whiskey?
Oh, all right. Thanks.
Just like a dentist's waiting room, isn't it?
Stopped. What's happened, do you think? I'll go.
No, Maxler. We must wait for Dr. Larson.
Here's Gay. Well, what's happened?
That's just what I'm trying to figure out myself.
You're right.
What did Larson say?
Well, I guess it all adds up to something, but he's way ahead of me. What's the good of turning back the clock anyway? Never did do anyone any good.
I wouldn't be so sure of that. Have a drink?
Oh, thank you.
Help yourself. Beethoven. She's playing Beethoven.
She certainly plays beautifully.
Do you mean she's playing?
Yes.
Yes, that's my Francesca.
May I go up now, Doctor?
No, it would be a pity to interrupt her.
But surely she wants me with her.
Perhaps.
What do you mean, perhaps?
Forgive me, gentlemen. I should have explained to you at once, but the music has put it out of my head. I think I can promise you a complete cure, but you will have to prepare yourselves for a new Francesca. A new and a very different person.
In what way?
You see, the past is over for her now, quite over. Her mind is clear, the clouds have been swept away, and she's no longer afraid. Whether you will be entirely satisfied with the change in her, I do not know. But it might be wise not to expect too much.
Are you trying to tell me?
I'm trying to tell you she will want to be with the one she loves or the one she has been happiest with. The one she trusts or the one she cannot do without.
And who is that?
It would be hardly fair of me to say.
But you must say. You've no right to keep us here in suspense.
Will you excuse me, Dr. Larson? I'm going to my study.
She stopped playing.
Then, no doubt, she's ready to tell you herself.
I'll go and fetch her. You can't stop me now.
There was no need, Mr. Layton. Here she comes. And you, radiant Francesca.
Peter. Oh, you came back. And Max. Oh, forgive me. But where is Nicholas? Dr. Larson, where is Nicholas?
It's all right, my dear. I'll send him to you. Mr. Cunningham. Mr. Cunningham. Francesca is waiting for you.
You have just heard The Seventh Veil, written by Muriel and Sidney Botts. It was adapted for radio by Helen Cunningham, produced in Durban by Anne Freed, and directed by Delphine Lethbridge. It starred Harold Freed, Nigel Kane, Margaret Milner-Smythe, Merle Wayne, and Sheila Raymond-Jones. This production of Lux Radio Theatre was originally broadcast on the 26th of July, 1971. This production of Lux Radio Theatre came courtesy of the Springbok Radio Preservation Society of South Africa.